Hi, I'm Eileen. I'll be reading from the Lynn Daily Item publication date, August 20th. Today is Friday, August 21st, 2026. Lynn weighs expanding historic protections in Diamond District by Karina Murphy. The Diamond District could review new historic protections as city officials consider designating the entire neighborhood as a local historic district. The proposal was discussed this week by the Historical Commission and Planning Department as one of two approaches to strengthening historic preservation in Lynn. Associate Planning Director Lauren Drago and Principal Planning Director Aaron Clausen also outlined a citywide landmark ordinance that would allow individual building structures, sites, and landscapes to receive local protections. The Diamond District sits between downtown Lynn and the city's waterfront, covering roughly 69.5 acres. The district is generally bounded by Broad and Lewis Streets to the north, Lynshore Drive and the waterfront to southeast, Nahant Street to the west, and Eastern Avenue to the east. The neighborhood stretches from more densely developed streets near downtown toward Lynshore Drive, encompassing streets including Atlantic Street, Ocean Ave, and Wave Street. Its location places the district within walking distance of both downtown and the shoreline, with the neighborhood's residential blocks extending almost to the ocean. Drago stressed the process surrounding the Diamond District must be transparent and customized to the community's goals. In other communities, they've sometimes weaponized historic preservation as a way to prevent all new development from happening, she said. That's not what we're trying to do here, but I think that's something we need to be thoughtful of. That's sort of the conversation that we're wading into. What can we do from the beginning to make sure that we're signaling that nothing comes to Diamond District to be preserved in amber forever? Due to the state-regulated process of creating a local historic district, the first step would be approval from City Council at the request of the Mayor and Historical Commission to create a local historic district study committee. This would be a new body, Drago explained. It must include 3 to 7 members, and those members must be appointed by the Mayor and confirmed by the City Council. The process also requires specific outreach, including the local historical society, the Board of Realtors, and the American Institute of Architects, to nominate 2 committee members. The forum group would then proceed with research, public engagement, and the creation of a preliminary study report to explain the significance of the district and the justification for its boundaries. Once the preliminary study report is complete, we submit that to the Mass Historic Commission and the Lynn Planning Board, Drago said. After that period, there's a public hearing. There's written notice for that public hearing to the owners who will be impacted by the geography we've settled on, and then they have the chance to comment at that public hearing. Mayor Jared C. Nicholson said this project will help evaluate the district's history. Lynn has a rich history that we are deeply proud of, and we recognize the importance of preserving that history creatively while still encouraging the investment we need to achieve our community goals, he said. This project will help us learn more about ways to landmark certain buildings in the downtown and evaluate historic designation for the Diamond District. The Planning Department and the Historical Commission also acknowledge the inconsistencies in preservation plans for individual historic sites across Lynn. While some sites, like the Grand Army of the Republic Hall and Museum, have preservation restrictions already in place, other historical areas such as Central Square and Oxford and Washington Street have slipped through the cracks. It feels like there's been a missing middle over the years, and I know that has led to the destruction of some really treasured historic sites, Drago said. The proposed solution is a landmark ordinance that would apply to buildings, structures, sites, or landscapes in Lynn that have exceptional history, architectural, or cultural significance, said Drago. exterior changes such as paint color offenses would be reviewed within a public process within public hearings as part of both the nomination process and review for changes in the future. The historic nature of Lynn is noted by many residents, although there has not been an outlet to funnel this care into, according to Historical Commission member Paul O'Leary. It's just getting feedback from people, having given them a chance to at least find out what the process is and to participate, he said. I have a lot of people who are very passionate about it, but that passion is completely misdirected. They don't know which way to go, and if we can get a central place, this is it. Conversely, there are also many who are not aware of Lynn's historical significance, according to Pat Chipman, a Lynn resident and prospective Historical Commission member. People are always so down on Lynn and don't understand, she said. They have never heard of the first jet engine, the shoe industry, the cemetery, the waterfront. They've never heard of it because all they ever hear is how lousy this city is. Because of this, O'Leary highlighted the urgency of preservation, explaining how growth in Lynn can still occur simultaneously with historical celebration. We have lost so much of our history that we need preservation, O'Leary said. The need for preservation has never been greater. Alleged Swampscott vandal to remain in custody by Aaron Hickey. Swampscott. A judge took no action Thursday on a request to reconsider Nick Ashtar Zadeh's detention after his attorney argued that problems obtaining medication in jail and the availability of a residential treatment program warranted his release. Ashtar Zadeh, 24, of Dracut, is facing four charges stemming from alleged vandalism at Congregation Shira Haman of the North Shore in Swampscott on June 30th, including destruction or threats to destroy a place of worship, causing more than $5,000 in damage, malicious destruction of property over $1,200, a civil rights violation, and property damage to intimidate. Defense attorney Brendan Gupta told Lynn District Court Judge Leo Fema that he was seeking reconsideration after Ashtar Zadeh's detention on two grounds. Gupta first argued that keeping his client in custody would result in a manifest injustice, saying Ashtar Zadeh has been unable to receive medication he needs while incarcerated. Gupta said the issue has affected Ashtar Zadeh's condition in his ability to work with counsel in preparing his defense. He also argued there had been a change in circumstances because a bed had become available for Ashtar Zadeh at a residential treatment program in Concord. Gupta asked that his client be allowed to enter the program if released. Assistant District Attorney Caitlin Masterak opposed both requests, arguing that neither amounted to a change that justified restoring Ashtar Zadeh's bail. Masterak pointed to the sequence of Ashtar Zadeh's other cases, including charges pending in Lawrence District Court and a previous federal fraud conviction. She said Ashtar Zadeh had already been released from federal custody when he was charged in Lawrence and was brought back before the federal court before being released again under the conditions of his federal supervision. Shortly thereafter, he picked up the charges in the Swampscott Temple case. In the Lawrence case, Ashtar Zadeh is accused of breaking into the office of an attorney who had previously represented him in stealing computers, Masterak said. Investigators later located the computers at his address and used surveillance footage and information connected to a Tesla to link him to the alleged break-in, according to Masterak. She said the same vehicle was subsequently connected to the Swampscott case. Masterak argued the federal court's willingness to allow Ashtar Zadeh to enter a residential facility did not constitute a change in circumstances because he had already been under federal supervision when the Swampscott charges arose. She also pushed back on Gupta's argument that Ashtar Desai's inability to obtain medication while incarcerated amounted to a manifest injustice requiring his release. Surely there's remedies that can be taken to ensure that if he had prescribed medication, that the jail follows through with that, Bastrak said. But I don't think that that's the basis for releasing or changing conditions. Bastrak also questioned whether the proposed treatment program addressed an issue connected to the alleged offenses, saying the cases did not clearly indicate that mental health or substance abuse was a driving force. Fema raised similar questions about the basis for Gupta's request, particularly the relationship between Ashtar Zadeh's medical needs and the proposed residential treatment program. What you've given me and what you're now saying are not the same, Fema told Gupta. Fema questioned whether Ashtar Desai was dealing with a mental health or substance abuse issue and why the proposed program, which provides substance use treatment, was appropriate. You can circumvent the system by saying, okay, we have a drug and alcohol problem or a mental health program, Fema said. I don't know what the medicine is that you would get there that you can't get here. Fema then asked Gupta for more details on what medication Ashtar Zadeh was unable to receive while incarcerated. Gupta said he would be happy to provide the court with more information, but he did not want to disclose personal medical information about his client on the open record. Fema brought both attorneys to the bench for sidebar. Following that conversation, the session resumed, and Fema said that he would not take any action on Gupta's request. For now, Ashtar Zadeh remains in custody and is expected to appear by video conference on September 22nd for discovery, compliance, and jury election. Lynn to host Mental Health Walk on Saturday by Olivia Haydar. Lynn's first Mental Health Walk will take place on Saturday, August 22nd. Creating an opportunity for individuals to find a shared community and open space to talk about personal struggles. The walk has been in the works for a few years, according to the Old Soul Young World OSYW CEO and founder, Jesse Ellie, who created the organization with hopes of highlighting the struggles people face and overcome. The Mental Health Walk has been a joint effort with the Millennium Latino Project, MLP, which was founded on the idea of creating opportunities for first-generation Latinos to grow within a supportive community. One of the main reasons for inviting the MLP was after understanding from personal experiences and hearing from other Latino individuals that mental health is often swept under the rug. MLP co-founder Edwin J. Osalas said. In our community, it's something we don't really talk about or something that we easily ignore or excuse, Rosales said. We find excuses like you're feeling this way because you could be cleaning the house. That's just the comments that you hear growing up. The event will be less traditional than other festivals or events held in the city, Ellie said. With 15 sponsors walking alongside the participants rather than setting up at tables, which will inspire organic conversations. Starting at 10 a.m. at Red Rock Park, the participants will hear from three community leaders before the walk starts, including Brenda Ortiz McGrath of the Lynn School Committee, Antonio Gutierrez, the co-founder and co-director of Lynn Youth Street Outreach Advocacy, and Kaylee Burgos of the Lynn Department of Mental Health. Ellie said after the leaders speak, the group will be led by a stretch alchemist who will do a warm-up with everyone, and then the group will trek down Lynchure Drive all the way to Nahant Beach and back. While walking, sponsors, OSYW and MLP volunteers will be handing out mental health prompts. More than 100 resource bags that include snacks, water, merchandise, local brochures, and local mental health resources will be passed out to participants after completing the 3K walk, Ellie said, followed by a stretch and breath work. The organizations are expecting 75 to 100 participants in the mental health walk and look forward to having vulnerable discussions that may feel they can never open up about, Ellie added. We have these spaces like Lynn Beach and Red Rock Park where I think a lot of people in Lynn don't take advantage of enough to realize you can heal yourself in nature. You can heal yourself by the water, Ellie said. Lynn student creates platforms to protect immigrants by Olivia Hadar. Lynn resident Afomia Lema is working to help the city's immigrant community better understand its rights through her self-produced podcast, Modern Justice, and website, Lynn Together. Lema was born in Ethiopia and immigrated to Cambridge with her family. Since 2019, she has resided in Lynn. As a first-generation immigrant, she has been able to see the lack of resources provided to those with backgrounds like her own. As a rising junior at St. Mary's High School, Lema has been active in Lynn by interning with City Councilor at Large Nicole McLean and Judge Ina Hogan Howard on separate occasions at City Hall. While working with McLean, she was asked to investigate different systems that neighboring cities have implemented to see how Lynn could improve, Lema said. I looked into Boston's Mayor Youth Council, and I'm trying to set up a Mayor's Youth Council in Lynn, too, where a group of high school students could directly affect the mayor's decisions, and it would be a year-round thing, Lema said. Lema said, seeing the challenges immigrant families face within her own family has motivated her to advocate for change in the community. Most of them just don't understand their legal and civil rights and responsibilities, she said. They don't understand how much the world is changing right now and how much that could affect them. Lema wanted to give Lynn's immigrant community greater access to legal resources and connect residents with professionals who can help. That led her to create platforms where immigrants can learn about their rights and how local government may be able to assist them. She said Lynn already has resources available to support its immigrant community, but she believes there is an opportunity to better use what is already in place. She said her advocacy work requires significant research, particularly when sharing information about legal and civil rights. If you're telling people what to do with their legal and civil responsibilities, you better do your research or else that could put someone in danger, Lema said. So it's definitely time intensive, but I think it's really rewarding to see people use it and people actually find change in their community by using it. With this experience, she created a podcast all her own in November called Modern Justice, where she has invited McLean to talk in her latest episode about the importance of understanding local government. The podcast has reached more than 700 views. Lema said many of her episode topics come from class assignments, research, and current events. Some are new, like AI biases in the court system against people of color. So I researched that and I put it in my podcast, Lema said. Sometimes I just break down current topics because the legal world is always changing. After interning with McLean, the council suggested Lema could expand her community efforts by creating her own website, Lynn Together, which connects people to local nonprofits and local events, Lema said. Lema said those experiences have encouraged her to continue pursuing opportunities in the legal field. When I see myself, like 10 years from now, I'm going to have a law degree, and I could either be practicing immigration law, or I could be working as a politician, Lema said. Continuance granted in Swampscott eviction case by Erin Hickey. Swampscott. Lincoln's Landing will have to wait another 2 weeks for movement in its eviction case after a judge granted its landlord more time to investigate two disputed rent checks. Judge Leo Fema granted the continuance in Lynn District Court on Thursday, despite the objection of Jennifer Capone, the attorney representing Lincoln's Landing, who argued that the restaurant has already provided records showing its payments cleared. The dispute stems from an eviction notice issued in May alleging Lincoln's Landing failed to pay $10,800 in rent for March, April, and May. Lincoln's Landing has repeatedly denied that allegation and maintains that its rent was paid. In court filings, the restaurant previously produced copies of 19 negotiated rent checks dating back to January 2025. Lincoln's Landing has said confusion over earlier payments led it to issue duplicate checks with additional payments later credited toward future rent. The case has since narrowed considerably, according to attorney Ted Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos appeared for landlord Alexandros Jacitos in place of attorney Natalie Megalutis and told Fema on Thursday that the parties are now trying to determine what happened with two checks that Jacitos believes bounced. Right now, there's two checks that remain outstanding that we need to confirm, Papadopoulos said. All we're asking for is a couple of weeks to try and get this resolved. The attorneys had previously agreed to put discovery on hold while they attempted to resolve the dispute rather than incur the expense of preparing materials for a possible trial. But Capone told Fema that she was still waiting for documentation supporting the landlord's position of the two checks. She said she had been told she would receive an answer about the checks by the previous Friday, but the only information she had received about them came from statements made by the landlord to his attorneys. Capone said her records show the payments clear Lincoln's Landing Financial Institution, while the landlord maintains that two checks remain unaccounted for. You're saying it's bounced. I'm saying these were never even presented, Capone said, recounting her discussion with the landlord's attorney. I need something to go back to my client with. Capone said she had been willing to agree to a one-week delay, but opposed giving the landlord two more weeks. The discovery period established when parties appeared before Fema in July had ended by Thursday's court appearance. Papadopoulos argued that 2 weeks would give the landlord enough time to get the banking information without risking another court appearance and request for additional time. He said Jacitos, who is 89, works with a particular employee at his bank who is currently away on vacation and has been helping him determine whether the check's cleared. What I don't want to do is come back in a week and say he's still not back or he hasn't been able to get that information, Papadopoulos said. So once we have that again, the goal here is potential dismissal. Fema ultimately granted the landlord's request for 2 weeks, saying he did not believe the additional time would significantly prejudice Lincoln's Landing. The judge also made clear the discovery had also been due in the case, leaving the parties free to take further action if they are unable to resolve the dispute. Despite disagreeing over how much additional time should be allowed, both sides told Fema they are still hoping to resolve the case without a trial. Jacitos is also the plaintiff in a separate commercial eviction case currently pending in Malden District Court. According to court records, the complaint was filed July 13th, and a bench trial in that case is scheduled for August 27th. In the Lincoln's Landing case, Papadopoulos characterized the remaining disagreement as an accounting issue and said the landlord's goal is not to take possession of the property. The parties have agreed to table discovery to try and resolve this issue amicably, and that remains our goal, Papadopoulos said. Both sides are due back in Lynn District Court on September 3rd for a case management conference. Lynn offices investigated for misuse of flock cameras. By Sophia Harris. Two Lynn police officers have been placed on paid administrative leave after an audit of the department's Flock license plate reader system uncovered a concerning pattern in some searches. The Lynn Police Department has launched an internal affairs investigation into the searches after implementing Flock's safety audit assist tool August 12th. During its initial use, the audit process identified anomalies that prompted further review, according to the Lynn Police Department. That review uncovered the pattern that led to two officers being placed on leave. Police did not identify the officers or provide details about the searches under investigation. The department said it will conduct a thorough and impartial investigation before reaching conclusions about whether department policies were violated. If it is determined that an officer conducted searches in violation of department policy, appropriate disciplinary action will be taken, the department said. The department stated that a detailed analysis determined that none of the searches under investigation involved immigrant enforcement. As the investigation proceeds, access to Lynn's Flock system has been restricted to supervisory personnel with the rank of lieutenant or higher. The department is also reviewing its license plate reader policy to ensure appropriate safeguards, accountability measures, and oversight procedures are in place. The department said it has strengthened its oversight procedures by requiring regular and ongoing use of audit assist in an effort to quickly identify and investigate any improper searches. The investigation follows increased attention to Lynn's use of Flock cameras and the safeguards surrounding the technology. The Daily Item reported August 12 that Lynn has 25 Flock cameras positioned along major traffic routes throughout the city. Police Chief Christopher P. Reddy said at the time that the cameras are fixed in place and capture the rear vehicles and the license plates. Images are retained for 30 days. Reddy also told the item that the department regularly audits officers' Flock search histories and was reviewing whether those audits should be conducted more frequently. He described audit assist as an additional layer of oversight that could alert the department when searches meet certain metrics and warrant further review. Reddy also told the item that the department regularly audits officers' Flock search histories and was reviewing whether those audits should be conducted more frequently. He described audit assist as an additional layer of oversight that could alert the department when searches meet certain metrics and warrant further review. I'm Eileen, and you've been listening to the Lynn Daily Item, August 20th, 2026 edition. Thank you for listening to the Talking Information Center.